open your Bibles to the book of Job, the third chapter. Job chapter 3. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 571. Beginning with the 19th verse, we'll read through verse 26. The text verse is the 25th verse. Job 3, verses 19 through 26. We'll read the verses responsively. Page 571. And may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And let's pray. Father, we praise thee for this Sunday service. Thank you for this particular day. We've had many a wonderful day in the past, in this place, in this great church. We've had a great history, and there's a great future. But help us today. Meet with us in a mighty demonstration of your power and blessing. Bless our preacher in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to read for you just one of the passages. You need not turn to it, but one of the passages you read a while ago. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you can fear yourself into what you fear. You can fear yourself into what you fear. I want to read for you this verse. For the thing which I greatly feared, is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. That's spoken by Job. I need not tell you that at the time that Job spoke this, he had lost all of his earthly possessions. I need not tell you that at the time Job spoke this, he had lost all of his children into death. I need not tell you that at the time that Job spoke this, he had lost his health and was in the direst need of physical comfort and help. I need not tell you that his wife had told him to curse God and die. I need not tell you that his friends had forsaken him and Job was lying or sitting in the ash heap of the city dump, getting some comfort from the coals of fire that were burning and the embers of the garbage gave him some relief from the pain of his awful disease. And Job said, the thing which I feared greatly is come upon me. Father, bless the message this morning to our hearts in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, let's just sort of sit here and as a family this morning. Let's just sort of chat around the table, around the hearth of the fireplace. And let me try to be pastoral this morning in my preaching. We fear too much. We fear far too much. We're afraid of old age. It's not so bad. I'm there. Not bad at all. I look as young as I always did. I found out how to keep from wrinkling. Enlarge the skin. Anybody that's got any sense knows that's what you do. You got a piece of material that's wrinkling, just pull it like that. Some of you little shriveled up prunes look horrible. Talking about Ray Bordway and you guys that jog 150 miles a day and and you look terrible. Her mother used to say, son, you're going to have fleshing up some. You look peaked. But we fear old age. We fear the future financially. We fear cancer. We fear war. We fear AIDS. We fear unemployment. And it's really silly. If you'd just let me have your attention this morning, I'd like to logic with you concerning the stupidity of fear. What a many-sided verse our text is this morning. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. Now, what does that mean? I'll confess to you, I don't know exactly what it means concerning Job. Does it mean that Job was afraid he'd lose his oxen, his donkeys, his camels, his wealth? I don't know. Does it mean that Job had had some fears that he would lose his children? He's afraid of it, and certainly it happened. I don't know. Does it mean that Job, once he had lost one thing, his wealth, then did he fear losing something else, his children? And then once he had lost his children, did he fear losing his health? Once he lost his health, did he fear losing his wife? I don't know. Perhaps the first loss brought fear of added loss. Perhaps he had a fear all the time of losing everything that he had. Perhaps all the losses caused the fear of something else that came upon him. I don't know. But this one thing I do know, it's something that Job feared came his way. And Job said, the thing which I greatly feared came upon me. Now I want to give you seven things this morning that show you how ridiculous it is to be afraid. You say, Brother Hiles, do you ever have a fear? Of course I do. I preached a sermon not long ago, well, in February, the National Bus Convention in Delaware. Dr. Lee Robertson and I preached together when I finished preaching this. He preached first, I preached last that morning. And when I finished preaching, Dr. Robertson came up to me and he said, Dr. Hiles, there's a great message. He said, were you preaching it to us or to yourself? And I said, both. Of course, both. Let me tell you how I logic when fear tempts me and comes toward me. I want to give you seven things this morning that show you the foolishness of fear. Number one, your fear can bring what you fear. It's possible. Do you know that you can fear yourself into a heart attack? You can be so afraid of having one, you'll have one. You can fear yourself into a nervous breakdown. You can be so afraid of having a nervous breakdown that your fear of having a nervous breakdown will cause the nervous breakdown. Many have feared death themselves to death. Let me say that again. It's a little tricky sentence. Many have feared death themselves to death. Folks have been afraid to die so much they died prematurely because they're afraid to die. Folks who failed because they have feared failure. You can occupy your mind so much with the fear of failure that you can fail because you don't occupy your mind with the ingredients to success. I'm saying, look, your fear can bring. I'm not sure what this first point is. Let's go to the second point. They'll understand it. Your fear can bring what you fear. That's point number one. Your fear can bring what you fear, which means that if you fear, there's a chance there. If that's the case, there's a chance for a plus one, a fear you need not have. Because if you hadn't feared what you fear, you probably would not have gotten what you feared you'd get. Wonder what that means. It sounds good. It must be good then. If a college teacher thinks it's good, I want to work on it a little bit more. But, okay, now that's the honest truth. The logic of it all. You can fear until your fear can bring what you fear. The second foolish thing about fearing, are you listening? The second foolish thing is this. Your fear can bring problems other than your fear, what you fear. Your fear can bring you what you do fear. But if your fear does not bring you what you do fear, it can cause you other problems other than what you fear will come upon you. Let me illustrate. I was on an airplane. It's been 15 years ago. I was flying out of O'Hare Field out west. And a fellow on that plane was an older man, must have been 60 years old at least, real old man, shouldn't even be allowed out in public. But he was absolutely scared to death. I mean, he was afraid of flying. And I told the stewardess, I said, let me sit by him. I said, I fly every week. And I went over and talked to him. I couldn't do anything good. Went back to my seat. Pilot came back. He talked to the fellow. Fellow just like that. He said, I'm afraid the plane will crash and I'll be killed. And that fellow had a heart attack on that plane and died. But one thing about it, plane didn't crash. Don't you see what I'm saying? I mean, his fear, though it did not bring him what he had feared, his fear brought him another problem. So you got, a plus one. It's foolish to fear. It's foolish to fear because your fear can bring you what you fear. It's foolish to fear because if what you fear doesn't come to pass, the fear itself can cause another problem to come in your life. Look, Jesus said so many times when he approached somebody, fear not. He sent the angels to bring messages. He said, fear not. Fear not. Again, the Apostle John said, perfect love casteth out fear. What does it mean? It means a mature love which has confidence in God that God's going to do what is best, casteth out fear. Now, why not be afraid? Because your fear can bring what you fear. Let me illustrate again. I was on an airplane. Let me read the scripture to you. I don't need to turn to it, but I want to read it to you. Job 23:14. Job is talking here about fear, and he said, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. That'd be a good last verse. For he performeth the thing that is appointed unto me. God decides what happens to me. I love him. I'm in his will. And so he bringeth about what is appointed to me. I was on an airplane flying to Detroit, Michigan years ago. Back in the days of prop planes, we had jets, but the prop planes, the DC-6s, DC-7s and Constellations and Electras and so forth were still flying. And I don't know why it is, but I've had more trouble on planes going through Detroit than anywhere else in the world. I had an engine catch on fire one time going through Detroit. Had an engine stop, going to Detroit. I mean, and that fan outside was quit running. It was hot in there. And it quit running. And we had one time going to Detroit. The landing gears wouldn't come down. And another time, we had a fire warning on the way to Detroit. And it's no wonder that plane crashed in Detroit. Stay out of Detroit, people. That's the problem. But I was flying to Detroit and looked out, and that engine was just sitting there. I mean, it was not moving. And that is not a very comfortable feeling. And the fellow beside me was literally scared to death. And I said, don't be afraid, fella. I said, we're not going to crash. He said, why? I said, I have an appointment. I was talking about this verse. See, God bringeth to pass our appointments. And whatever God has appointed to me, that's what I need. That's what I want. So if God wants that plane to go down, let me think that one out just a minute. Look, I'm going to heaven. That plane went down. I'll be playing tag with the angels in 15 seconds. No problem with me. I've been on airplanes, many airplanes where there was trouble, and I mean it. I have not been afraid at all. I mean that. I've not had any real problems, and there's no problem with me. I'm going to heaven. It's done. The great transaction's done. I'm my Lord. He's mine. You can't. Oh, I love that story I tell so often. Dr. John Rice and I were preaching in a place, and a guy pulled a gun, stuck it Dr. Rice's stomach, and I'm going to blow your brains out. I laughed and laughed. Your brains are not in your stomach, they're in your head. But he said, I'm going to blow your brains out. And I know Dr. Rice said, you can't scare me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven either. No way. No way. You see, God appoints my affairs of my life. I have an appointment. And what appointment God has made for me, God brings it about. And Job was saying here, he was saying, I'm afraid. He said, sometimes I get worried and I get scared. And Job said, sometimes I fear. But he said, for he performeth the thing that is appointed to me. He appointed. Look, folks, if I am afraid, and I wish I could dispel your fears today. Look, like I say, I'll be 61 years old next month. And I'm not afraid of growing old. I sort of like it. I'm just as happy as I was when I was 15. Happier for that matter. It doesn't bother me. And to me, I'm just as good looking as I was, because as I get older, my eyes get poorer. So when I look in the mirror, I look just like I did before. It's sort of equal. I don't care. Somebody said, how about that bald spot in the back of your head? It doesn't bother me. I never have seen it. Bothers the choir, but it doesn't bother me. Bother me at all. I'm glad. I hope the bass section get go up there driving crazy looking at it. I'm at all. You think I'm on? Look, I told the students one time at Howells Anderson College. I said, "It's silly. I know guys that because they're losing their hair are miserable. Well, if that's the case, Ackerman, you'd commit suicide this afternoon. But I mean, it's silly. It's fooey." I said to the student one time in Howells Anderson College, I said, look, I got hair on my chest. I got hair on my arms. I got hair on my arms. And I got hair on my fingers. I got hair on my hands. I got hair growing out my ears. I'm through right there. Out my ear. I got hair on the side of my ears. I got eyebrows. I got a trim. I got eyelashes that I got to cut, keep them from touching my glasses. Why in the world should I worry about one little bald spot in the back of my head I've never seen? I'm a child of God. Why be afraid? Why be afraid of unemployment? He makes my appointments for me. Why be afraid of death? He makes my appointments for me. Why be afraid of illness? He makes my appointments for me. Why be afraid of unemployment? He makes my appointments. It's up to him. Go ahead. Fill out my schedule. Tell me what you want me to do. Make all the appointments. Why should I be afraid? He's in charge of my schedule book. I see. It's silly to have fear. Why? First is your fear can bring what you fear. Second, your fear can bring problems other than fear. Number three, your fear can bring troubles with your troubles. If what you fear comes to pass, your fear itself is going to cause the trouble that comes to multiply. I mean, the very fact that you're afraid. Look, if what I'm afraid of is going to come to pass, then why don't enjoy my life between now and then? Why wreck my life between now and then with fear? But it's going to be wrecked after a while anyway. Why not enjoy it? Look, I like the guy that's going to be electrocuted in the electric chair, eats a T-bone steak before he dies. Now, if you're going to die, die a fool. I'm going to do that. If you're going to live, live full. Live a full life. The Bible says that. Now, listen to me. Look, either laugh when I tell him or don't laugh at all. I hate for you to interrupt the sad part of my sermon 5 minutes after I tell something you don't catch. I'm saying, folks, look, your fear can bring what you fear. And if it doesn't, your fear can bring other troubles that you don't fear. And if your fear is realized,
Your fear is a trouble while you're waiting for your trouble. Let me illustrate. Now follow me carefully. There are people in this room this morning, right here, who are getting fed. You are. I mean, you realize this morning that you have some fears, and you realize that God makes your appointments, and all of a sudden your faith is increased, and your soul is encouraged, and you say, "Why, sure, he's right. Why should I fear? He's my Father. Christ is my Savior. Heaven's my home. Bible's my book. Holy Spirit indwells me. I'm a child of God. Why should I fear? He makes my appointments for me. Why should I fear?" And you're getting fed this morning. Now, there are other people here who are not getting fed at all. Same sermon. You know why? Some came to get fed and some didn't. Oh, you came to get fed, you're getting fed. You came not to get fed, you're not getting fed. Like the old fellow said to me one time, came out of my service every Sunday morning. He said, "Didn't get nothing out of your sermon." One Sunday morning I said, "You didn't bring nothing to get it in." But look, that's the way life is. You come to get up this morning and say, "Thank God it's Sunday, and the preacher's going to stand up there and remind me that God is my Father, and God makes my appointments, and God is in charge, and why should I be afraid?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not," and heavenly angels come and say, "Fear not," and the Bible's full of fear not. And you say this morning, "Thank God, I feel stronger because I've come." But others of you will go out critical and unfed. Why? You didn't come to get fed. You came to be mad. You came to criticize. Why? You didn't come to get fed. And the same thing's true about fear. Why fear? It cannot be one thing good for you. First place, what you fear may come to pass because you fear it. The second place, if it doesn't come to pass, other problems can come because of your fears. In the third place, your fear can bring troubles with the trouble you fear. Number four, if the trouble comes, you got two troubles rather than one. Look, that's why I don't go to the doctor. I'm going to die suddenly. I'm going to die, and if I die, I'd be surprised I died. I don't go. Doctors are for women. Men can't. Two reasons. Men don't want to know what's wrong. If you're a real man, you don't want to know what's wrong with you. If you're a real man married to a real woman, you can't afford to go anyhow. You're busy paying her doctor bills. I don't go. Ever have any aches and pains? Yeah. Want to go see what it is? Don't know. You may die. Praise God. I won't have to raise a budget next year. I wish everybody as dumb as I am. You got troubles? I don't know. I don't listen to them. Somebody knows I got troubles, I won't listen to them tell me what the trouble is. If I get a wind to somebody that I may have a problem, I don't mean the kind of problems you think about now, but if I get a wind, I may have a problem. I don't want to know. Why? I just want to know God is my Father and heaven is my home. I don't want to end up with whatever comes on me ruining the time between now and then. I'm not going to let it. Get out of the house. You're going to get old one of these days. No, I'm not. Already did. But I'm not going to spend my life full of fear. Preacher said the other day, he said, "You know, my church is trying to vote me out." And I said, "Get nothing." "Oh," he said, "we're scared of that." I said, "Boy, on that kind of stuff. Looking for a church when you found that one." Now, don't misunderstand me. I think a pastor ought to love his people. I'll say a word about that tonight. With all my soul, I love the people sitting in this room right now. But I want to tell you something. I was happy before August 30th, 1959. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you, not me. There's not one person in this room this morning or in this world on whom my disposition depends. My disposition depends on the fact that the name J-A-C-K-F-R-A-S-U-R-E-H-Y-L-E-S is written down in heaven this morning. You can't erase it. You can't erase it. It's written down in heaven. Rejoice not because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven, the Bible says. Quit your fearing. Quit your fearing. No need to. All in the world your fear can do is add to whatever trouble you're going to have. Number one, your fear can bring what you fear. Job no doubt was afraid. He'd count his money and be afraid he's going to lose it. He'd look at his children and be afraid they were going to die. He'd look at his sheep grazing on the field and be afraid something would happen to them. He'd feel good in the morning and be afraid his health was going to be taken. He'd look at his wife and be afraid he'd lose her loyalty. And sure enough, Job feared himself to get what he feared. Your fear can bring what you fear. Your fear can bring problems other than that you fear. Your fear can bring troubles with the trouble that comes that you fear. If the trouble comes, you've got two rather than one. You've got the problem plus the fear. Number five, if the fear is not realized, you have a needless problem. Did you know most of the things you fear never come to pass? Most of them never come to pass. I remember One day I sort of started seeing spots in front of my eyes. I mean, you wouldn't believe what I saw. And that didn't bother me. But those little green men I started seeing, it bothered the fire out of me. But I started seeing spots in front of my eyes. And there's one little round spot right here and a little winding thread down there and a bigger round spot down there. Then there's a little, these two spots were solid. And then you got a little spot over here that's hollow. Just a little round circle deal. And then you got a little string of stuff going across here, another little round circle deal. I counted them one day. I counted 40 spots in front of my eyes. You know, I had cancer. For weeks I had cancer of the eyeball. Cancer of the brain. I did. I died with cancer of the brain several times. I still got them. Still got the cancer, too. No. Went to the doctor. He said you had some kind of emotional problem that caused a breaking down of your retina. That's why my office is not drywall. My office is paneled. Because when I look at a white wall, it looks like I think flies are going. I've spotted flies that are not there, but they're hundreds. You think you got it rough. I got flies with me all the time. Little school of them. But I'm not kidding. I didn't tell anybody this, but I died with cancer of the brain for weeks and weeks and weeks. Most of our problems, most of our fears, they're never realized. So what do? If what you're afraid of doesn't come to pass, you made yourself a problem by your fear. You don't have to take your tranquilizers. You don't have to have a nervous breakdown. You don't have to go wacky. You don't have to fear. Why? You got a God in heaven who loves you. That's why you don't have to. How silly it is for anybody that the creator of the universe and the sustainer of the universe knows you personally and is bound to take care of you and make all your appointments for you. How foolish it is for any of us to be afraid. Fear is not realized, it's a needless problem. Now, number six. On the other hand, what you believe can come upon you too. The positive. You can faith your way to getting what you believe you'll get. I'm not talking about Norman Vincent Peale's power of positive thinking or Mr. Shuler's possibility thinking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about old-fashioned faith. I'm talking about believing that God is on his throne. And on that basis, having a positive outlook about life. You can, what you believe, can come quickly. I said, number one, your fear can bring what you fear. I said, number two, your fear can bring problems other than your fears. I said number three, your fear can bring troubles with your troubles. Number four, if the trouble comes, you have two problems rather than one, the fear plus the trouble. Five, if the trouble does not come, you had a needless fear, and in every case, the fear multiplies the problems and adds to the heartache and the problem. I said number six. On the other hand, what you believe can come. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then number seven, and last. Let's suppose the bad does come when you believe. Follow me carefully. Let's suppose that you're afraid of, that you don't have fear. Let's suppose that all of a sudden you think about what could happen and all of a sudden your perfect love dispels that fear. And let's suppose that you believe and let's suppose that your faith is rewarded with the trouble. And all of a sudden you have that trouble. You have that problem. The very fact that between the time you started to fear and the fact that you did not fear, between that time and the time the trouble came, the very fact that you did not fear, but had faith in God, means that you have built up a strong faith to see you through the trouble. The tragedy is, the troubles are going to come. But most of us are so exhausted by being afraid, by the time the trouble gets there, we haven't got any strength to face the trouble. But if you have confidence in God and believe that God makes your appointments, are you listening to me? If you believe that God makes your appointments and you trust Him and believe in Him and don't fear, if the trouble does come, you have built up a strong faith that will see you through that trouble. And what a fellowship you can have with Christ in the trouble. Now, all I've said this morning is this. Fear is stupid. It's foolish. Because I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. You know, we don't believe the Bible. The Bible says, for example, great peace have they was loved by law and nothing shall offend them. And you get around and get offended. You don't believe the Bible. If you're offended this morning, if you don't love the Word of God, you don't believe it. You're offended. We don't believe the Bible. Most of you don't believe the Bible. You think it's the Word of God, but you don't believe individually. You don't believe what it says. But the Bible says there's a love that a Christian can have, mature love, perfect love, that can throw away fear. The word is ekbalo. Throw it away. Cast out fear. Get out of here, fear. I don't want you. I don't need you. You can't bring anything but bad anyway. Get out of here. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, I have overcome the world. Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You don't have to fear. If you, I want to shock you with this. I have had problems and troubles during seasons of life. And I've gone through seasons of life when I did not have what I call problems or troubles. And Jesus is so real and so sweet to me in the time of trouble. It's hard not to be disappointed sometimes if you don't have any troubles. Believe. He makes your appointments. By appointments, I'm not talking about whom you see next. I'm talking about He makes your schedule. It's up to Him. Now, if He wants me to have what men call troubles, well and good. He makes my appointments. What He wants me to have, that's what I want to have. He knows what's best. I don't know what's best for me. And that's your trouble. You're your own God. You think you know what's best for you, and if God does not do for you and conform to what you think is best for you, then you get bitter at God. Since when did you get so all-fired intelligent? God is omniscient. He knows everything. You don't know what you need. I'm having nothing trouble. I'm having a hard time not being bitter at God. That is one of the most atheistic statements I've ever heard in my life. What do you mean? What do you mean? God knows what you need. You love Him.
You obey him, and you serve him, and you quit worrying. Just quit fretting. And quit fearing. There's no need to. He's in charge. And whatever circumstance happens, the fear is going to add at least one problem to whatever happens. You can fear yourself as Job did into what you feared, into enduring what you feared. Or, if the what you fear doesn't come, your fear can bring you problems other than what you feared. Or, if the trouble that you fear does come, your fear is going to multiply the immensity and the number of your problems. And if the trouble comes, you have feared between now and the time of the trouble. Now you've got the trouble. You've got two troubles instead of one. If the fear is not realized, you've had a needless trouble. On the other hand, you can turn that fear around and look up to God and say, you're my God and I'm your child and you know what's best for me and I love you with all of my heart, so I'm not going to be afraid because you make my appointments. And I'm going to have the kind of confidence in you and the kind of trust in you. So when, if the trouble comes, what I call trouble, you and I will have had such a peaceful fellowship. I can make it through the trouble because of my fellowship with you. I'll close with this. I'm a grizzled old veteran. I've been in this business a long time. A long time. I've lived a dozen lives in my one life. And I want to say this. Troubles are highly overrated. Highly overrated. You ever come into a storm and you're scared to death of that storm? You get in the middle of it, it's not near as bad as afraid of getting into it. Not so bad. I've lived longer than most of you. I have lived more than any of you, probably. I have more enemies than all of you put together. I have more financial responsibilities than probably all of you put together. I have a busier schedule than anybody in this room. I'm not going to live in fear. Well, say, brother, how? You going to live in ignorance? I don't know. Ignorant people seem to be happier. Look at me. Years ago, on Sunday afternoon, I used to go with a group of folks in the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas when I was a teenager out to Terrell. Terrell was our Westville. Terrell was where the insane asylum was, 30 miles east of Dallas. And if you want to insult somebody, you'd just say you ought to go to Terrell. Well, Terrell was the insane asylum. And every Sunday afternoon, I'd go out there with our young people and we'd have services at the Terrell Insane Asylum. And out on the grounds, as we'd drive up every Sunday afternoon, there was a fellow out there that thought he was George W. Truett. George W. Truett at that time was pastor of the largest church in America, First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. He was there 40 years as pastor. And he was this guy out there that thought he was George W. Truett, and he was preaching every Sunday afternoon. He was out there preaching. He said, I'm George W. Truett. By the way, he's a lot better preacher than Truett was. I'm George W. Truett. And he'd preach and preach and preach and preach. One fellow said to me one time, said, don't you feel sorry for him? I said, not me. I feel sorry for George W. Truett. That fella doesn't have a budget to raise. He hadn't got a deacon meeting he has to go to. Sorry about that. That fella, he hadn't got one disgruntled church member. He's happier than George W. Truett. I'd rather be him than George W. Truett. And in a sense, that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be oblivious to circumstances. Let me have this mic right here, please. He wants us to be oblivious to circumstances. He wants us to walk through life sort of dumb. You know, problem for most of you. He wants you to walk through life sort of naive. While there's a tornado over here, a fire over here, hurricane coming this way. And that's the way I go through life. Sort of dumb.
Why worry? Why worry? John Wesley said, I would no more fret than curse or swear. Take your worries to Jesus. Trust Him. Believe in Him. There's not one single thing your fear can do. That's good. And whatever happens, whether what you fret about comes to pass or does not come to pass, your fear will do nothing but aggravate the troubles. Father, help us somehow.